post of visiting dignitaries. Unfortunately, time does not permit the recognition of all those with us, but I would like to appraise you of the following who are visiting us today, among others. In addition to our most honored guest, we are privileged to have the Governor of the State of North Carolina, Honorable Luther Hodges. If you would, please, would you hold your applause until the entire list is read, as we must move along as expeditiously as possible, please. The Democratic nominee for Governor of the State of North Carolina, Terry Sanford. The senior senator from North Carolina, the Honorable Sam Ervin Jr. The junior senator from North Carolina, Honorable B. Everett Jordan. Congressman Herbert C. Bonner, Congressman Harold C. Cooley, Congressman L. H. Fountain, Congressman Alton H. Lennon, Democratic nominee to Congress from the 3rd District, David L. Henderson, Secretary of the State of North Carolina, Honorable Thad Ewer, Honorable Edwin Gill, State Treasurer, the Democratic nominee for Lieutenant Governor of the State of North Carolina, H. Cloyd Philpott, Monroe Redden Jr., President of the North Carolina Young Democrats, Paul R. Thompson, North Carolina Democratic National Committee Man, Mrs. Martha McKay, North Carolina Democratic National Committee Woman, Dr. Henry Jordan, 1960 State Democratic Campaign Manager and brother of the junior senator from North Carolina, Dr. Leo Jenkins, President of East Carolina College, and Mr. James Spate, President of the Student Body of East Carolina College. I request that at the conclusion of the program, that all persons please remain in place until the motorcade has left the field. We regret to ask this of you, but it is necessary in order that our visiting party might visit the other points in North Carolina at which they are scheduled to appear later on during the day. So please remain in place following the program. I would now like to recognize Mr. John Clark of Greenville, Chairman of the Pitt County Democratic Executive Committee, and along with Mr. Charles Horn of Greenville, co-chairman of this great Kennedy rally, Mr. John Clark.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Distinguished guests, ladies and gentlemen, I extend to you, each and every one of you, a most cordial welcome to visit our city today and this great college. We heartily welcome you, and it makes me especially happy to stand here and see the thousands of people who've gathered here today. It's impossible for me to have the time to thank each and every one that has helped us in this great campaign. Just say thank you for all of you. It is my privilege and pleasure at this time to present a man to you who needs no introduction, who will in turn introduce the speaker. I present to you Honorable Sam Ervin, our senior senator, North Carolina. Senator Ervin.
Fellow Tar Heels, I have the high honor of presenting to this great audience of Democrats in the strongest Democratic section of North Carolina a great American who has borne true faith and allegiance to the United States of America as a gallant commander of a PT boat in combat with the Japanese in the South Pacific in the Second World War, and as a member of the House and of the United States Senate, and who will bear true faith and allegiance to all Americans of all creeds and all races in the office of President of the United States, the Honorable John F. Kennedy.
you want it.
All right. Thank you.
My friend and colleague, Senator Irvin, Governor Hodges, Senator Jordan, Congressman Bonner, my fellow members of the congressional delegation, your next governor of North Carolina, I hope, Terry Sanford, distinguished guest. Ladies and gentlemen, I come here today from a section of the United States which claims to be the oldest section of the United States, to North Carolina, which is the oldest section of the United States. And I'm very grateful to be the guest of Eastern Carolina College. I understand that they've had a most rapid growth and now wish to play in the Southern Conference. I am scheduled in the Southern Conference too and find it with some difficulty, and I hope that you have success and that I do also. I come here today as the nominee of the Democratic Party, and therefore I stand in succession to a number of distinguished Americans who have borne the banner of the Democratic Party in good times and bad, but they have borne it high for the benefit of the United States of America. North Carolina helped create the Democratic Party. The state of Virginia founded it. Thomas Jefferson and James Madison. And our party was given its modern form as the party of the people by a great citizen of this state, Andrew Jackson. I therefore come here today to ask your support in a difficult and trying time in the life of our country. I do not run for the office of the president, saying that if I'm elected, life will be easy. I think to be an American citizen in the 1960s will be a difficult and hazardous occupation. I believe that this is a great country, but I do believe it can be a greater country. This is a powerful country, but I think it can be a more powerful country. My chief disagreement with the Republicans in this campaign is that they have had too little faith in the development of this country. I think we can do better. Their campaign motto, has been, "You've never had it so good." Well, I think as a citizen of the United States, as well as a Democrat, that it is our obligation to do better, to build the economy of the state of North Carolina, to build the economy of the United States, and in so doing, build the strength of the United States as a great and free country. I think what Woodrow Wilson and Franklin Roosevelt and Harry Truman recognized was that this country cannot be strong and powerful in its world position unless it is strong and powerful here in the United States. I think that there is a direct relationship between the deterioration of our relative standing in the world in the last few years and the fact that we haven't moved ahead here at home fast enough. Last year, the United States had the lowest rate of economic growth of any major industrialized society in the world. And when we grow at home here slowly, our prestige and power and influence around the world begins to diminish. Here we are, the richest country on earth, and yet in a hungry world, we find ourselves unable to use in an imaginative and affirmative way the great surpluses that the Lord gave us. Here today in the richest and most productive tobacco country in the United States, I come as the Democratic standard bearer, affirming the confidence and faith of the Democratic Party in a strong agricultural program. I do not mind. It is a source of satisfaction to me that for 2 months, every 4 years, the Republican candidate for the presidency, whoever he may be, comes out strongly for an affirmative agricultural program. But day by day, month by month, year by year in the Congress, the burden has been carried by Congressman Cooley, the Democratic senators from this state, Democratic congressmen and senators from the South and the Midwest. We believe, as Franklin Roosevelt believed in his day, in an agricultural program that lifts the farmer up, that does not liquidate him, that does not catch him in a cost-price squeeze, that liquidates his profits and drives him into the urban centers of the United States. I stand in direct succession in a great tradition, which I think has meant a good deal to North Carolina and to my own state of Massachusetts and to the United States. I ask your support in this election, not merely as the Democratic standard bearer, but who has one who has the greatest possible confidence and faith in the future of this country. Thomas Paine, during the American Revolution, said, "The cause of America is the cause of all mankind." I think in 1960 and in the next decade, the cause of all mankind is the cause of America. Our responsibility is to be the chief defender of freedom at a time when freedom is under attack all over the globe. The future will not be easy, but I do think that if we meet our responsibilities here, here in the state of North Carolina, here in the United States, if we build a better life for our citizens here, whether they live in the cities of the North or the South, or whether they live on the farms of this country, upon which our economy has traditionally depended, I think as we grow strong here, we hold out an inspiration to all those who wish to follow our example. The reason that Franklin Roosevelt was a good neighbor to Latin America was because he was a good neighbor to the people of this country. Today we celebrate Constitution Day, which is the day at the end of the Constitutional Convention when George Washington sent the Constitution to be ratified by the states. I stand today as the supporter of the American Constitution as the best and most happy way for the organization of our life. And I think our great ambition is to see the blessings of freedom spread, not only in our own country, but all around the world. A strong America, believing in freedom for all our citizens, I think offers the best hope of freedom to all those who look to us with confidence and hope. I ask your help in this campaign. I ask your help, and I can assure you that if we are successful, it will be my daily task to care for the needs and the hopes of our citizens, and also to defend the United States in a time of great danger. During the Constitutional Convention, there was behind the desk of General Washington a painting of a sun low on the horizon, and many of the delegates wondered during the debate whether it was a rising or a setting sun. And at the conclusion, Benjamin Franklin stood up. He said, "Because what we have done here, we now know that it is a rising sun and the beginning of a great new day." I think in 1960, it can be for the United States a rising sun and the beginning of a great new day. Thank you. Thank you.
and those people start coming.